Here's Miller and Condon. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon, bottom of the hour, thereabouts. We will speak with Nick Olson from Cyclone Alert, part of 24/7 Sports. Get the latest on Iowa State. But right now, let's talk about this national championship game. Consensus line out there, DraftKings, etc., have this at Alabama. A three-point dog, Bama Bob, joins us to talk about the national championship. Spend a minute recapping one-sided FCS championship. Bama, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Just real quick on that game. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to watch it. Montana State, their quarterback, so good. When Malott went down in the very first series of the football game after they were moving the ball, I thought, you know what, this can be a pretty entertaining football game. They didn't have a prayer after that, and North Dakota State, the Bison, just put it to them and out-physicaled them. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I saw some of it, bits and pieces, and you're right. I mean, once the quarterback went down, I think it would have made a difference. It would have made it a more competitive game.
That's what I certainly think, yeah.
But I don't know that you were going to stop what is really just juggernaut at the FCS level. And I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty impressive because they play in the middle of, I mean, you know, nowhere, Fargo, North Dakota. Yeah, I mean, now look, you're playing a dome, so you can't say, well, you have a home field advantage because you're playing in, you know, 10 below zero weather in the playoffs. They play in a dome, so it's the same for both teams. And I just think it's impressive how they're able to recruit, you know, kids, they recruit nationally to Fargo. And I think the reason they do it is because they have won so much and they can point to guys like Carson Wentz. I don't know if you'd really want to point to him.
Not this weekend, no.
Lance and other guys. And there's other players on those rosters that, you know, linemen and everything else that have gone to the pros. So, look, for whatever reason, you know, if you're transferring from an FBS school and you want playing time, or you know you had issues at you know another FCS school, whatever it is, they're able to get players up there, and it's basically the Alabama of FCS if you want to look at it, and probably better because they've won 9 out of 11. I don't think anybody's going to do that at the FBS level, but it's impressive, and they get athletes from everywhere. I mean, you obviously are not going to just win with North Dakota kids. So,
right.
It's impressive. It's fun. I understand why they want a neutral site. You know, now in Frisco, which I guess they've been playing out for about 10 years, but I don't know. It's really impressive what they've done. They've done it now through two coaches. You know, Kleiman had the great run, and now, you know, Ince is there, and multiple quarterbacks. And so it's not just one of these where, hey, you hit on a kid, you know, like Carson Wentz, you know, for example, when he was in college, you know, hey, we got this one great quarterback, and we can ride him at this level. And they've just been able to build a program. And, you know, I don't see it changing much. They're always going to be in the picture. They're going to win every year? Probably not, but – you know, for the
9 out of 11.
Yeah, they're going to be in the picture, I think, and it's going to take something special to beat them, especially when, you know, they do have generally, you have to go up there to play until you get to the championship round. So pretty impressive by them. Like you said, too bad that the quarterback for Montana State got hurt, because I think that would have made it a more compelling game.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the quarterback for NDSU?
Yeah, he's from Iowa. I didn't know
Solon that. Kid, yeah, Cam Miller. Good player, and won a lot of games at Solon, and Solon seemingly always does. He had a guy in front of him that was pretty good, getting ready for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'll say. Interesting. Well, let's move on from that, and let's take a look at tonight's game. It was the SEC Championship, as we know. We saw it with our own two eyes. It was what was the final? 41-24.
Mm-hmm.
Was the final. Right. Both quarterbacks threw the ball through the air. I mean, of course, they threw it through the air, but did some damage through the air. Stetson Bennett had a couple of interceptions, because that wasn't the case for Bryce Young. Both struggled to run the football. So why? What's going to be different tonight? Trent, I'll ask you that question first. What's going to be different tonight? Alabama had their way with them. We saw this game a month ago. Why not tonight?
Going to be different for this. First of all, it was the game plan for Georgia defensively. We're just going to rush four because that's what we do and we're going to be good enough. Well, that's not how you beat this Alabama team. You make that offensive line that has had problems, you get after them. You make them make decisions. You have those young offensive linemen that have struggled, have to make choices, and you come with five, six, sometimes seven guys and make it tough on the offensive line. They didn't do that, and ultimately they paid the price. So Georgia, the game plan's going to be a whole lot better. On top of that, could Bryce Young have that kind of game again?
Well,
I know the cornerbacks for Georgia are not great in comparison to what we've seen.
No Mechie.
Right. But they got dudes still. Can Bryce Young play at that level again this week to do it twice against the Georgia
defense?
Does
he have to?
Yeah,
because he does too.
You don't run the football against this team.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, how about this, Bama? I've been looking at some of the props. We got a contest that we're in, trying to find something out there. Can Robinson get to 70 yards rushing? Is that a realistic goal?
Is that the number that's...
I think it's 68 and a half.
Really?
I think he can, but I think he's going to have to break a 20-yarder in order to get there. And look, I'm in line with everything you've said here. I think the biggest key to all this, and I totally get what you're saying. I agree with it 100%. I mean, was Davis even recognized? I mean, did he even play in the first game?
Great point.
The big 99. I mean, he was just neutralized in that game, and I think the biggest key is missing John Mechie because he was the guy kind of working the underneath routes, the intermediate routes, the crossing routes over the middle, and they would let Williams just, you know, that freed up Jameson Williams to run the deep route, to be the explosive guy, which is their most explosive player. Without him, he kind of has to now be that Mechie type role because they, as of yet, at least through the Cincinnati game, they haven't developed, and how could you really develop? I mean, you can't replace Mechie in 4 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. They've got talent. Yeah, they've got five stars that are coming in, but a lot of these guys haven't had reps. And I just think that, you know, Mechie to me is going to be a big loss. You mentioned the offensive line. They had a couple guys banged up.
The right side of the offensive line in particular.
Yes, absolutely. So I think you're going to see, and I agree with you totally on the game plan, and I've seen a lot of this. I've heard this from Georgia fans. I've seen it on message boards and everything else, is they were really disappointed in the game plan, and they just let Bryce Young carve them up. They know that Bryce Young is a better quarterback than Stetson Bennett. There's no question, okay? The biggest advantage Alabama has on the field is Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to make him uncomfortable. You have to hit him. You got to make him get the ball out quick. You're right. You have to make these offensive linemen think. If you're just going to line up, and I don't care how good you are on defense and how good of a defensive line you have, and they have a great one, okay? That is an NFL front. If ever there was an NFL front in college, you're going to see it tonight for Georgia. But Alabama has some big guys, too. And when you're blocking 5-on-4 and it's pretty much straight ahead and you're just going to let Bryce Young sit back there and you've got those two explosive receivers, Robinson is good in the passing game. You know, look, he's going to pick you apart. Can he have another 500-yard game? I don't think so. I think you're just going to see them really get after him. And, look, if he beats him, he beats him that way. And I don't think there's a Georgia fan, you know, they would be disappointed, sure, but at least come after him and make him play great. Don't let him just sit back there and play great. And I think that's going to be the difference. I think Alabama knows it. I'm sure they're prepared for it. They're not going to look at this tape. Nick Saban is way too good in his assistance, okay? They're way too good to look at this and go, well, this is what they did the first game, so they're going to do it again. Of course they're not going to do it again. I mean, they know that. But I'm afraid that there's just been too much loss. And Georgia, you saw them against Michigan. And Michigan is, everybody wants to get on that. Oh, well, just like when Alabama beat Georgia. Oh, well, Georgia's not really as good as people think. Well, now Michigan's not as good as people think. Of course, Georgia ran over them. That's not true. Michigan was an excellent team on both sides of the ball, and Georgia just flat out shut them down. Again, I think that I think Alabama is going to see a completely different Georgia team. They're going to be motivated. They're going to really get after Bryce Young, and they're going to have to come up with something to stop that. Whether that screens, I think the tight ends are going to have to get involved. They've got a couple of pretty good ones. And then on defense, they're going to have, you know, Bennett's going to have to help them a little bit. And he played an almost flawless game against Michigan. If he plays that way tonight, I think it's going to go Georgia's way. And, you know, not a route, but I think comfortably. If he does some Stetson Bennett things and throws some balls over the middle or throws them late or, you know, makes the wrong read or whatever it is, then I think Alabama's going to hang in there, and you know, we'll see what happens. It is so hard to bet against Nick Saban, and if mm-hmm. Alabama were at full strength, I'd call this an absolutely dead evening.
Yeah, I would too. I agree with
you. Without them being at full strength, yep. I think Georgia is favored for a reason. I think they are a better team, and I think unless Young just does something great or Bennett does something stupid or a combination of that, I think it's Georgia's night.
Yeah, without Mechie, I think it's huge. The right side of the line, right guard, I don't know who they're going to plug in there. Owens, right. Number 79, the right tackle.
He hasn't been great.
No, he's been undisciplined when I've seen him, Bama.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the thing that I've seen down here as well. Is it really a loss? It's a loss because he's played, okay? Now, he hasn't played great, but he's got some experience. So maybe another guy comes in. I mean, if Owens isn't going to play or he's not mm-hmm. going to be able to play well, but he looks slow. He doesn't look very athletic. He can't really pull that great. It may be a blessing in disguise, but again, you're just going to plug in somebody that really is not all that, you know, experienced. Now, maybe what they do is they just say, you know, maybe they simplify it for him. They say, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to help you with a tight end. We're going to chip or whatever. You know, they're going to give him three or four things that he's got to worry about. And that's going to be it. And then they're going to let the rest of it. They're going to, you know, Evan Neal on that left side is going to be a top five draft.
Without a doubt.
Probably.
First offensive lineman off the board for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's kind of where they're going to lean. And they'll leave him out on an island more than they will on the right side. But, you know, Georgia will adjust to that. But it's just going to be a fascinating thing. There's so many pros out here tonight. I just think that, you know, look, not to say the first game didn't matter, but it really didn't, if you really want to look at it. Mm-hmm. Alabama added another SEC trophy. Okay, big deal. That's, what, 57?
And they needed it to get in the playoff.
They did.
Georgia was in the playoff.
And I do not think you can overrate that.
No, I'm with you.
I've said that a bunch, and I don't think it was Alabama being in Georgia's head. I just think Georgia, in the back of their mind, knew we're in the
They've got a what. Safety net.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it was just one of those things where, you know, for whatever reason, and maybe they thought they could win anyway. Maybe they thought they were just good enough to win no matter what. But you saw what they did to Michigan. I think you're going to see that. I don't think you'll see it to that extent tonight, but I think you're going to see a completely different Georgia team that's really get after Alabama.
We know Nick Saban in this role as an underdog, how good he has been. Six times he's been an underdog since he's got things turned around a year or two at Alabama. He's won five of those games outright, including three of them by double digits. What have you heard? What have you seen, if anything, from Saban this week?
As far as playing that card?
Yeah, going that route and talking about the underdog role that he has been so good in the past in.
So publicly, he's not going to say anything. He's going to say he doesn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's done.
Right.
You know, we don't pay attention to spreads. Every year's a new year. Every game's a new game. Every team's a new team. Blah, 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 coach speak. Okay? I'm pretty sure, and I guarantee you in the first game, when it was, what, 6.5, whatever it was, I guarantee you that was a motivating mm-hmm. factor in the first game. That was in every Alabama player's locker. I don't know that he's going to be able to play that this time around. He probably has mentioned it some. I just think, if I had to guess, and obviously, you know, he he knows much better than I do. I think he's probably just said, listen, just forget all of that. Forget the spread. Forget the underdog. You know, none of that really. We showed the first game. That doesn't mean anything. I think he is just so now hyper-focused on this one game. And what are we going to see? We know we're going to see something different. He does know Kirby Smart, okay? I think there's an advantage. I think it's more of an advantage for Saban to have had Smart on his staff and to how they kind of come up with game plans over their time together, you know, in these big games versus how the other side – you know, some people think, well, Smart kind of knows how Saban thinks. I see it as an advantage, Saban, in that. And so he may be looking at this and going, here's how I think Georgia's going to adjust. So here's what we're going to do to counter that, okay? And I don't think any of that, even internally, I don't think they're going to care about spreads or underdog or try to play that up. I think they did in the first game, but I don't think they're going to do it here because I think they all know, look, without Mechie and all these injuries that we have, you know, look, it's going to be a challenge. But I also think on defense, if I had to bet, Saban has probably spent, 70% of his time on defense because they know even though Bryce Young is going to have a much tougher night tonight, they know he's a better player than Stetson Bennett, and they know that they can rattle him. Now, how are they going to do that? I don't know. Is it going to be try to disguise some coverages? Is it going to be to bring pressure?
Well, they better cover Brock Bowers because he's as good.
Yes.
If you don't watch Georgia football, take a look at this. Right. He's the next Kyle Pitts of college football.
My goodness.
A true freshman, for God's sakes.
That's what we were saying. I mean, I think the last time we talked, this kid was in high school last year. Are you kidding me? And he will go over the middle. He is a matchup nightmare. And as good as Alabama's linebackers are, you know, they're so famous for these combo coverages and everything else. But, man, if I'm Bennett, that's who I'm looking for. I mean, 80% of the time. Where's 18?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know wherever he is, he's probably got a mismatch.
Yep.
And it's just one of those things where I'm going to be able to throw it up and he's going to go make a play for me, especially when you get inside the red zone or everything else. I really expect I don't know that Georgia how much they're going to be able to run. They've got a good offensive line. They've
got
a couple good running backs. But, you know, Alabama usually can plug up, you know, a running game.
Stetson Bennett will have to win this with his arm. I agree with you.
I think that's the case, yeah. But you're right. I mean, other than what, if Mechie were there, I just can't overstate this in my mind how big of a loss that is. Now, maybe somebody else steps up that we haven't heard of. The kid that caught the touchdown.
Slade Bolden.
Slade Bolden, exactly. He's kind of their Hunter Renfro right now.
Yep.
Okay, you remember the kid from Clemson that's just tearing it up for the Raiders. So he's kind of that guy right now when you really need a third and six, okay? And you're doubling Williams on the outside, and you're bringing pressure or whatever it is. Okay, there's Bolden in the slot. He's my Hunter Renfro. Okay, they're going to need somebody else though. I still think to work that Mechie role, whether that's the kid that caught the touchdown in the Auburn game, or somebody else that stepped up in practice, they're going to need somebody to kind of play that role to really free up Williamson down the field because that's the biggest advantage they have. Georgia's secondary is not great. It's good, but I don't think their secondary is as good as Cincinnati's.
So few are.
Yeah, right. And I just think that Williamson, you're going to have to hit a couple of big plays if you're Alabama in order to hang, and then make Bennett beat you going 8, 9, 10 plays. And is he going to have success? He absolutely is. But again, you got to get after him, and you got to make him uncomfortable. You got to try to confuse him. Everything else. And you're not going to be able to beat him the same way you beat him, you know, 3 weeks ago because, again, what has he done? He's gone back and he's studied and he's talked about it. You know, look, there were 4 or 5 plays in there that I think, you know, if we make them, we change the game and I made mistakes. So what's he going to do? He's going to say, well, if I see this, I'm going to do this. Well, guess what? You're not going to see that this time. You're going to see something different because it's Nick Saban on the other side. So, again, biggest advantage Alabama has on the field is at quarterback, and they are going to really have to get after Young. But you're just spot on about Bowers, man. That kid is, oh, my gosh, what a weapon. And he's going to have a mismatch no matter who's covering him all night. And if I'm Bennett, that's what I'm exploiting. And, you know, Pickens on the outside, a couple other guys on the outside, they can make some plays. But
yeah.
They're going to need some tip passes or something to really make him uncomfortable, try to get some pressure in his face, get him off the spot, whatever you want to call it. But that's the biggest advantage Alabama has. And look, if Georgia gets out ahead, I don't think Alabama's going to catch up tonight. And when I say get ahead, I mean, you know, 2 scores, 2 touchdowns, 17 points, whatever it is. I think they'll be able to finish them. The longer this game stays close, then if it's close at late third, early fourth, now you're going to get into Georgia's head. I don't think you're going to be in their head to start the game. I really and truly don't. But, man, if that game's close, you know, inside of 10, 12 minutes, now you're in their head and they're starting to think, oh, my God, it's going to happen again.
Let's go on record, fellas, in our final minute here. Trent, what are you doing with the who wins it? And you want to put the point spread in play?
Yeah, anytime I can get points, bam, I got to do it. It's an automatic play.
A lot of folks feel that
way. And though most everything that I look at, most everything I do handicapping-wise points to taking Georgia, I just can't get past it. I'm going to take Bama in the points.
Bama, who do you like?
Much as I hate to say it, I'm going to go Georgia 31-24, something like that. I think they win. I think they cover. I think just too much attrition for Alabama right now. Again, I was wrong the first time when these two teams play, but I just think you're going to see a completely different Georgia team tonight than you did 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I have a major opinion on this game. I absolutely love Georgia. I've had a terrible year picking football games, whether it be pro or college, but I just think Georgia's going to go in there and win this football game and do so convincingly. I don't think the point spread comes into play. I think that I think Georgia wins the game. I really do. I think the defense is too much. Those linebackers are going to run around and make plays. No Mechie, that's a huge, huge blow. And at the end, the most valuable player is Stetson Bennett.
Be a great story.
Be a great story. Bama, we'll recap it with you tomorrow, brother. We're out of time. Thanks for doing this, Bama Bob. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy it, guys, and enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk tomorrow.
Indeed, we will. Take care. Good to talk to you. Bama Bob, Trent and I going around the Natty, the national championship. A lot of folks, Trent, every time I see Alabama and they're getting points, you almost have to take them, don't you?
That's where I am.
I know. You're not alone.
You think significant win, too.
I think Georgia paces them. I think
this is Alabama. Pace them?
I think we get the game tonight that we thought we were going to get on the first Saturday in December. I do.
It's difficult for me to imagine. When's the last time Alabama was blown out?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, even double digits. The losses that they have are tight losses. If you said you just like Georgia to win, but you're so confident in it.
I love Georgia in this spot.
Makes me like Alabama even more.
Sure.
And I got that future wager from Georgia before the season at 7-1. Mm-hmm. Got another future at them before the playoff, I think, at +140.
Good for you.
So I got to buy out some of it, though, right?
Well, you like Alabama.
I do, yeah. Probably $100 I'm probably going to put. Because if they win, I got $230 coming my way. If Georgia wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to do that. Yeah. I feel like I have to. It's
Alabama getting points. And we saw the game the first Saturday in December, and Alabama took it to them. We will take our time out. Nick Olson on Iowa State next. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We got a keyword.
Keyword.
I have to be retrained in these things.
I know.
It's time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Here's what you need to do. Go to KXNO.com. Once you get there, enter the keyword green. Green to 200. No, 200, 200.
No.
KXNO.com. Green at KXNO.com. Simple.
It's all.
Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with 3 metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best fresh, never frozen wings. Buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale,
100 bets off.
Market homeowners have 2 questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7, so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happy.
American Lung Association.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book. Right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-
She'll ever have to buy.
Juna.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, 1135 Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. A little bit late, but let's get right to him. He's our friend Nick Olson. He covers Iowa State at CycloneAlert.com. That comes under the 24/7 umbrella. We saw Brock Purdy. We saw Mike Hall say that what was expected, they are leaving, not taking advantage of that extra COVID year. Both going to try their hands at the NFL. We'll do that with Nick and obviously recap and look ahead to tomorrow, Iowa State men's basketball. Nick, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Nick Olson, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Appreciate you coming on. So let's go to Saturday before we, you know, kind of put a bow on the football program. I think most of the announcements we're expecting have come, but maybe there's one or two that are lingering out there you can remind us of. So for 30 minutes, Iowa State looked like Iowa State, playing defense, committed to the defensive end of the floor. They were making some shots in the basketball game, actually made 8 three-pointers. Then all of a sudden, it just seemed to get away from them. Nick, in the final 10 minutes with Oklahoma seemingly getting to the basket at will, scoring a whole bunch of those points to take the lead and pull away via layup. What happened in those final 10 minutes?
Yeah, that was a tough one, guys, because, you know, in the Big 12, as competitive as it is, those are those games that you kind of have to make sure you finish because you aren't going to get any gimmies. I think that, you know, the team might have lost its identity for a little bit on the defensive end. I mean, obviously, we actually just spoke with Coach Otzelberger today. It kind of seemed like the guys were thinking a little bit rather than just doing kind of what they're used to in the motions, especially on that end. And quite frankly, I think there was a bit of an X factor in Oklahoma's freshman guard, Bijan Cortez, that came off of the bench. He was just dealing everywhere, making assists very late. He looked good, and, you know, that was a very winnable game, and they're going to have to bounce back quickly against a big opponent, like you alluded to.
A lot of conversation after the game, just one free throw shot by Iowa State, also the technical on Jazz Coons, the flop call. So there's all kinds of conversations there about the officiating. Your takeaway as you watch this one on that side of things?
I think there was certainly, you know, kind of an issue there, some home court advantage with Oklahoma, but as well as Iowa State played, I don't think that can really be looked at as what got them. You know, teams through a long season are just going to have stretches like that, and fortunately, there are going to be a lot of games where they're going to get another shot. Unfortunately, their next shot comes at Kansas tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you. The free throw thing, you're going to – it's been a long time since any team in the Big 12 has shot as few free throws as they did, but it was more of an issue, I thought, of trying to defend their end of the floor. You know, you mentioned Cortez. Boy, he was out of his mind. He was as big as he was in that basketball game, maybe as bigger as any of them. Both of the Groves played well, but Cortez was kind of that X factor. And as you said, whether he was dishing out the ball or making some big shots, he single-handedly has his fingerprints all over this win.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, you know, I had heard of, I was a little familiar with, but, you know, when you do your scouting for a game like that, you're definitely expecting the Groves brothers, primarily Tanner, to be the one that can, you know, really stretch the floor and hurt you on that end. And it felt like when Cortez came in, he and the other brother, Jacob, really had some great chemistry. And it just kind of felt like the onslaught continued. When it happened on the defensive end, the offense was a little shaken up. It was a tough finish. You know, I'm not used to seeing that from this Cyclones team, but it's going to happen once in a while, especially in a league like the Big 12 for sure.
Kansas tomorrow, as you mentioned, 11 points is a spread of Ken Pomeroy. We'll find out that point spread a little bit later today. Texas over the weekend, and then another road trip after that, as it'll be Texas Tech. I mean, at minimum, are you shooting for a win here? Is that realistically a goal that's attainable here in these three games? At least get a win, find one in there. If you get one early, then you're playing with house money going forward. And if they don't, at 0-3 and what would turn into an 0-4 stretch, how damning would that be in your mind?
Quite honestly, it would be incredibly damning because it's a league that doesn't get much easier top to bottom. And as good as that non-conference resume kind of looks, you know, conference is a huge deal, especially in one like the Big 12. So you're exactly right. I think you need to get one. I think they definitely have a good shot Saturday. I also think it's going to be competitive tomorrow because I'm pretty confident the defense will get back into shape.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's just going to kind of be who can struggle to get baskets late. I think the Jayhawks probably have one or two more reliable options, but I think it's going to be a good game. I will be at Allen Fieldhouse to cover that one, and then looking for, a major opportunity Saturday at home, which should be another great battle. Like you said, doesn't get too much easier in this conference.
No, it really doesn't. Look, Abaji's playing as well as you can put him up on Player of the Year candidates in all of college basketball. Brown's a pain in the you-know-what. Mm-hmm. He can make some big shots, and he has. Wilson is playing well, at least he has been the last couple of games. So not going to be easy, no doubt about that. So anything come out if you think back to your time you spent with Coach Otzelberger, any news come out of that press conference that we're missing that we should make our audience aware of there, Nick?
I wouldn't say too much news. I would just say it's a big opportunity for Inaruna, you know, who transferred from Kansas to come here to Ames. And you know, he didn't let on too much as expected in pressers like this, but I think he's certainly excited for an opportunity like this. I think the guys are absolutely going to rally behind him. And I'm also really excited to see a guy like Tyrese Hunter.
That was great. Good point.
Yeah, had an amazing game Saturday, and he's going to get another shot and certainly have his hands full on the defensive end against some of their guards and wings. But, you know, I'm really excited to see how this team bounces back and maybe their first look at adversity this season.
Mike Rose departing, Brock Purdy departing, but some good news as Orion Vance says that he is going to return in 2022. Overall, kind of as we anticipated, some names certainly coming back, but overall, you look at the departures and you look towards next year, it's going to be a lot different looking Iowa State football team than what we're used to. What are you looking at as we get through these winter months and get ready for spring football?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of turnover. Like you said, most of the names that left were expected. Vance is going to be huge, both from a production standpoint as well as a leadership standpoint. You're going to have some talented safeties back. And, you know, I think the big question marks are going to kind of be on the offensive end, losing multiple All-Americans and, you know, obviously Purdy, who's considered pretty well overall the greatest quarterback that's played here in Ames. I think it's going to be excited, and I was able to also talk to a few pretty big recruits this past week as well.
Interesting. Well, good stuff. Look at a Joy Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow. I know you will. A pretty special place. Hope the game lives up to it, and we will talk to you next Monday, unless something happens crazy tomorrow that we need to impose on you again on Wednesday. Nick Olson, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports. Nick, thank you. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. See you next Monday.
Yep, good to talk to you. Nick Olson joining us as we talk a little Iowa State. We shall see. What did
11?
You say about 11?
I think I'd grab the points.
I have to think, Trent, that TJ has refocused them on the defensive end of the floor. They made some big shots.
McCormick played well
the
last couple of times out now after getting benched.
Yep, true.
Brown, you mentioned, dude just hits shots
everywhere.
He does. Remy Martin's still not right. The transfer from Arizona State, okay, who can score in big-time ways. He's not completely healthy. It's an interesting team. Abaji, feels like every time we watch a Kansas game, you and I, we always come in, man, I really like Abaji, don't we?
Yeah, and he's the rest of the country's catching on to that game this year. He's playing well.
Yesufu doesn't play much.
No, trying to play 3 minutes in the loss to Texas Tech. Three. I mean, the kid made a mistake.
Right.
He had a great march. Take nothing away from him. But I think what do you say when you, what my parents used to say when I used to take way more than I could eat? Your eyes are too big for your belly. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. That's kind of how I feel with Yesufu, right?
Yeah. Eyes got too big.
Yeah, they did. Should have stayed. Anyways, we will come back. Trent's play of the day. Circa Sports sponsors that. There's only one basketball game tonight. Did I hear that? Oregon State play?
Yeah, yeah. There's a few other small conferences. I like to take a peek at those, too.
What broadcast are you going to watch? You're going to stay on the main one, or you going to flip around?
Probably main one.
Me, too.
Remember, my wife's an Alabama fan, so she doesn't...
She's going to be really pissed off tomorrow.
Oh, she'll be sleeping by then. Fourth quarter, anyway.
Yeah,
not a whole lot of dinkering with the national championship, and because, it's a team she roots for, I'll probably just stay on the main broadcast.
That's what I'm going to do. There. I'm with you. Dave Gettleman's out with the Giants. He's resigned. Joe Judge is going to survive this.
No, they're going to bring somebody else
in to
fire him.
I think so, right? If they're going to, they've got to hire a new GM now. Doesn't he want his own coach?
You would hope so.
You're going to be handed Joe Judge?
Yuck.
No, thanks. Miller and Condon, Circa Sports, play of the day next. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
KXNO.
DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer for all you new fans. We want to get you in the action during this exciting time on the football calendar. New customers, just bet $5 on any football team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 in free bets. So let's wind down the season with a big win.
And all DraftKings customers can also bet on football with their same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game, including tonight's national championship game, for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code KXNO. Bet just $5 on any football team, college or pro. If they win, you get $200 in free bets. That's code KXNO this week at DraftKingsSportsbook.com, where you must be 21 or older. Iowa only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call
1-8-radio.
Do you remember when America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, won their first Super Bowl with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and company? It's been a while, but the answer is 1993. Do you know when Wolf Roofing started roofing houses? That's right, 1993. Wolf Roofing has been around for a long time. For your next roofing project, put the experience of Wolf Roofing on your side. Find them on the web at wolfroofing.net or give them a call at 515-225-8866. Or on... The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with three metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best fresh, never frozen wings: buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale.
Located in Iowa. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Market homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7 so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happy.
Clubs.com. Back to Miller and Condon on KXNO and Trent's Pick of the Day, presented by Circa Sports Iowa.
All right, right, Miller and Condon, final couple of minutes here on a Monday. Of course, Murph and Andy, you'll be in here at 1, the Fanatics at 3. Is there an Iowa State coaches show tonight? Do you know?
It's Monday. Normally is.
Normally is, but the national championship, does that do anything? I mean, I don't know. So. I know basketball, there's very few major conference basketball games tonight.
Oh, but you got Army tonight. Oh, grab those 8.5.
Well, let's get to it then. What do you like?
Well, of course, I am going to play Alabama. That goes without saying. But
money line, are you taking the points? What are you doing?
I'm going to take the points. Grabbing the points and mentioned got to hedge something on a future bet that I have. So I'm going to jump on that route with
and you got
Alabama.
Georgia at 7-1 win. August?
It was August. Yeah, it was before the season.
Good for you.
That was a good one. Also, my other big bet that's still alive was the Rams before the season.
Yeah, that's not, you're not cashing that one.
Not feeling great.
No, don't think you are.
About that one. Got him at 14-1. And I got a 49ers ticket at 40-1.
That's a lottery ticket. You know what? They've got Dallas. That's a toss-up game.
It is.
That's a toss-up game.
It's going to be a fun one.
I think it is, too. All right, so Alabama.
Alabama. Mm-hmm. Army.
Army. Getting 8.5.
Getting 8.5.
Yeah.
And looking at some prop bets out there.
For the Natty?
Uh-huh. Do you ever... You've heard people talking about the shortest touchdown, the 1.5 number that's always out there. Yep. So here's the juice right now at Circa for that one. The over 1.5, so basically not a 1 yard touchdown in the game, is +140. Boy, I like that.
That seems, I'm with you.
Is there going to be a 1 yard touchdown? Okay, but at -160, I don't want to play that.
I think
that.
You take the chance that there isn't.
That's what I'm doing, so we're going to play that also. So there's your prop bet for the day. Over 1.5, longest touchdown in the game. There's a 1 yard touchdown, I lose. But I'm getting +140 with that one. Going to be a fun night. And lots of props as it comes to a close over at Circa Sports.
Indeed it does. There is no Iowa State Coaches Show tonight. Thank you to Dave Sproul.
Oh, okay.
Who just sent me a text. Of course, Dave was on the road with the team in Oklahoma. And John Walter's apparently going to be back. So Dave's stint as the play-by-play voice, the fill-in, if you will, comes to an end. But happy he got that opportunity. We will speak with him, of course, on Friday. Well, I'm betting Georgia, Trent. I'm betting
no
Georgia.
No surprise. You bet on this one for a while.
I am. I feel as good about this one as I do. I'm looking. Utah's winning the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
They're going to win the game.
They covered.
Yeah, but...
When you bet money line, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But I kind of have the same feeling that Georgia's just going to win this football game. They're going to turn the tables on the SEC championship. I don't like the right side of Alabama's offensive line. Tight end for Georgia is a difference maker, and Stetson Bennett is going to be the story of the night.
A walk-on to national championship.
How about that? Left the program, came back to the program, gets the opportunity.
And that guy's going to make a lot of money in pharmaceutical sales.
I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Yes.
But he's going to...
Something other than sports, I've got
to
guess.
There's going to be a booster out there that owns their own business. Really, can those two go together? I didn't know that. Yeah, he's just going to be fine. Well, enjoy the game. Should we play it on Thursday?
you got that one right. That was your best call in a while.
Because I don't think the ratings are going to be very good. There's no buzz, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. Put the game to Thursday. There'll be tons of buzz in the days leading up to it. Enjoy it if you're watching it. We're back tomorrow. We're Miller and Condon weekdays from 10 until noon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.